Our Father, we thank thee today for the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we approach the throne of grace with boldness, recognizing that thou dost hear us as we pray. We ask that thou wilt meet our individual needs today. Grant, Lord, the word will be opened in such a fashion that we will be able to understand and apply to our individual lives. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles today, will you open them, please, to the book of the Revelation, chapter 1, keeping in mind that we have just begun the study of the book of the Revelation in our ninth journey through the Word of God. For some time now, we have been thinking about what is termed the introduction to the book and related phases of truth. As we turn back to the first chapter of the book of the Revelation today, we want to notice one or two things more related to the introduction, trusting that the information that we give you in this introductory series will enable you to read the book of the Revelation with intelligence as you watch for these particular things which we have presented to you. In Revelation 1:7, we have an announcement of the theme of the book, and I think it would be wise for us to notice it together. Notice Revelation 1:7, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." The theme of the book of the Revelation, then, is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, I think it would be wise for us to keep clear in our minds exactly what we are talking about when we are talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ. If you are not familiar with prophetic truth, it won't be clear to you. So, suffer this word of explanation, even though many of you will know what I am going to say. The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is presented in the Bible as a drama of two acts. A drama of two acts with an intermission between. One drama, the second coming of Jesus Christ. One play, the second coming of Jesus Christ. For example, if I told you we were going to present the drama of the second coming of Christ, and you left after the first act, you would be missing the whole story. If you came in on the second act, you would be a bit confused because you would not understand the whole story. When we are looking at the promises of the Word of God related to the second coming of Christ, it is always important for us to know what coming the Holy Spirit had in mind. Which act of the drama of the second coming did the Holy Spirit have in mind when the verses in question were written? Was it the first act of the coming, or was it the second act of the coming of Christ? We call the first act the rapture of the church because the word rapture simply means catching up. And that is the next thing on God's prophetic program that can occur without one more prophecy being fulfilled. That can occur even before I finish this discussion today. It can even occur before you awaken another morning. There is no promise yet to be fulfilled before the Lord Jesus Christ catches up his church. That is the meaning of the word rapture. Now, the rapture of the church is a secret event, and the only people that will know about it are the people who are born again, who are members of the body of Christ, who are looking for the coming of the Lord, whether they are literally doing so or not. This is the rapture of the church. And when it occurs, as I say, it will occur, as the Bible says, as a thief in the night. People will awaken the next morning and realize that things are not like they used to be. People are gone. Many of them will not know where they are. And when they seek information as to where they are, there will not be enough people who do not believe the truth, though they have heard it, who are not born again, who will be left to be able to reveal to them what has happened. The rapture of the church would have occurred. Now, will you notice, you get a little bit farther on over in the book of the Revelation, about the fourth chapter, that the rapture of the church is going to create a stir for only a little bit. People are going to forget about it soon, and they are going to go about their ordinary, everyday affairs. Now, you might say today, how could they? Such a stupendous event as that How could they possibly forget it so quickly? I personally believe, though it is not in the Word of God, that the present space exploration program is the preparation of the devil to saturate the minds of men with the idea of space travel to such an extent that it won't be anything unusual at all when the rapture occurs. Now, please do not misinterpret what I said. Do not misquote me. I did not say that the work in relation to space travel is of the devil. I said that the devil would use this unusual ability to travel in space to prepare the minds of men for the rapture of the church, so that when this glorious event occurs, it will not seem anything miraculous. Men have been traveling in space for some time by the time this particular event occurs. And when it occurs, instead of relating it to truth, men will find themselves saying, oh, well, somebody's just gone on another space trip, and that is that. Because in all probability, space travel will have developed even to a greater extent than it has now at the coming of the Lord. People are not going to be greatly impressed about it at all, and they will think it's related to ordinary, everyday events. Now, you might be able to pass the physical as an astronaut or a cosmonaut or some other kind of knot before it's over with, because you are going to be a space traveler. You may not be able to be a space traveler in the strictest sense of the word with the space program, but there is one thing sure, and that is, if you are a believer, you are going to be a space traveler. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as he takes you out of this world, will fit you with a space suit that is known as the glorified body, and will guarantee you a trip through space that will not bother you even one little bit. That's something that space travelers can't do today. This is the promise that is held out for believers, and it is described in the Word of God as the rapture of the church. Now, the second act of the drama of the second coming of Christ is preceded by a little intermission of 7 years duration, which is called in the Bible the tribulation. And notice carefully what I'm saying, with which the major portion of the book of the Revelation is concerned. The major portion of the book of the Revelation is concerned with this brief intermission between these two acts in the drama of the second coming of Christ. Very little is said about the Revelation and the rapture as individual events. The rapture is signified in chapter 4. The Revelation is emphasized in chapter 19. And from chapter 4 through chapter 19 of the book of the Revelation, you have this intermission about which I speak. When the intermission is over and the last act begins, you have occurring what is revealed here in Revelation 1:7. Let us look at it again. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. All things are presented in this verse as being related to the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing that is suggested is that he's going to come with clouds. Now, these clouds could be atmospheric clouds. We won't argue about it. In the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, the Lord Jesus Christ went away in clouds, and the angels who were there that day said, "This same Jesus shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go." The clouds, on the other hand, could be the Shekinah glory of God. Because whenever God made his appearance, it was always in a cloud. It will include, and of this I am sure, because of the plain teaching of the words of God, great clouds of heavenly hosts. You and I will be included in that cloud, because when the Lord Jesus Christ takes us home to heaven at the rapture of the church and keeps us there during the tribulation that is occurring on the earth, When he returns to the earth, we will return with him. Yes, all of us who are born again shall return with the Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing that is said in this seventh verse is that every eye shall see him. And that means exactly what it says. Every eye shall see him. Now that's puzzled a lot of people down through the ages with our earth being the shape it is in. How could every eye see the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes? Well, it never bothered me because I believe the word of God. I am not of a scientific nature, and there are a lot of things that I don't understand. If somebody sat down and explained them to me, I couldn't understand them. But God said, every eye shall see him, and that's sufficient for me. But you know, it is a fascinating thing to me to be living in the generation in which we are living. So much of the scripture comes alive. There is Telestar out in space. And only God knows what it will be when it is perfected, if the Lord Jesus Christ tarries. But if it is no more than it is now, the television cameras of the world could focus on the Lord Jesus Christ as he comes back to the land of Palestine, upon the Mount of Olives, where his feet are actually going to stand when he returns. And the cameras of the world could focus upon that particular event, and Telestar could convey it to the whole world so that every eye could see him. Now, this is not necessary, for our God could do whatever is necessary to cause this event to be seen by the eyes of men. But we're simply saying, if men can report events to the entire world in our generation, then why couldn't God accomplish this same purpose without any effort whatsoever? And we're going to have to stop right here because our time is gone. We trust you will remember to pray for us.